a communion cup as you came in and you want to take communion with us today, they're just outside the door at the table, and we'll give you, you've got time to step back there and get this. And if you're watching from home, if you want to take communion with us, you've got some time to find a cracker or some juice or something, and we'll pray here in a bit. And at the close, we're going to have communion together. We heard two really good sermons the past two Sundays, as Pastor Sarah did a great job. And I'm afraid the trend may be winding down today. And so I don't feel like I've got a sermon as much as I've got a thought to kind of help us prepare to receive communion this morning. And so, you know, there's multiple ways that we refer to the act of communion, of receiving communion. We call it, some churches only call it the Lord's Supper, and so we talk about it in that way. We're going to partake of the Lord's Supper or participate in the Lord's Supper. Other churches, we talk about celebrating communion. We're going to celebrate communion at the close. Some churches refer to it as the Eucharist, which that word means thanksgiving, and so we're celebrating the Eucharist. I often refer to communion as the Lord's table, as coming to the Lord's table. We're invited to come to the Lord's table to nourish our souls upon the holy gifts of Christ, his body that was given for us as the atoning sacrifice for our sins, his blood that was poured out for us to cleanse us from sin and to seal us in a new covenant of grace. And so coming to the Lord's table, to use that phrase as a metaphor for all that God has provided for us through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. So the salvation and the peace and the healing, the forgiveness of sins, his presence, all that is kind of wrapped up in that notion that we receive from his hand, then the bread and the cup, and we come to the Lord's table to participate in that. So coming to the Lord's table is a means by which we gather in obedience to the instruction of Christ. Jesus said that we were to do this in remembrance of me. It's written on the very front of the table there, in fact. So we do this in remembrance of him. The Apostle Paul said we do this, and when we do, when we celebrate communion, we proclaim the Lord's death. And it means we not only remember, we're not just thinking about an event that happened a long time ago, but in the present moment, we are proclaiming and testifying that all that his death means and provides for us is happening for us and with us and to us right now, right at this moment. We're proclaiming that his grace is sufficient to forgive our sins. The Bible says the blood of Jesus continually cleanses us from sin. So when we take communion, we're proclaiming that right now his blood cleanses us from sin. Right now his grace is powerful enough. Right now his mercy is received by us, and that what we need to live a godly life is available to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And then Paul also said that we're proclaiming the promise of his return, because he said we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so for us to participate in communion this morning, we're acknowledging not only what he's done for us, we're acknowledging that he's coming again for his church, and that fills us with a sense of hope. It helps us remain focused on the redemption that is ours right now by his grace, and it helps us stay focused on the ultimate redemption that is yet to come when he delivers us out of this old world and gives us a brand new body, and we are gathered forever in his presence to be with the Lord forever. So this is, the Assemblies of God, we talk about two ordinances of the church. We say water baptism and receiving communion are the ordinances of the church. It just means it's been ordained of the Lord or ordered by the Lord in that sense. And so we say they're ordinances, not sacraments. But I want you to understand this is more than just a ritual, but this is a spiritual practice. This is a necessary thing. This is a life-sustaining spiritual nourishment for our souls. The Anglican Communion Service, if you ever read the Book of Common Prayer, and we've used that a couple of times over the years, but I always love the phrase they use, that they say to receive the bread, the body of Christ, and feast upon him in our hearts with thanksgiving, to be nourished in our soul. And that's what we're going to do this morning. There's spiritual nourishment that comes as we come to the Lord's table, and that's the reason for the name of the message, Come to the Table. So as I prayed about the service, I just felt like we were to respond to his invitation to come to the table, to be nourished and fed by his presence, by his gifts, by his saving mercy and grace, by his healing and his forgiveness and his peace. And I'd said in a sermon a few weeks back, I remember at the end of a service, I'd said we need to just shake it off and let it go or whatever. And I felt like there were still some things maybe we just need to kind of lay down, some things we need to leave here. And the invitation to us is going to be to come to the Lord's table and leave some things at the table, to lay some things down there. And then when we then what we take with us is not the burden we laid down, but instead it's the peace of God, it's the presence of God, it's the grace and the mercy of God, it's healing, it's reconciliation, it's restoration that comes with him. And so it's one of the questions, I'm usually eating a meal with people that carry purses or whatever, and so the family goes out, I don't know, it's probably not my responsibility, but I usually say, okay, did everybody get their purse, everybody get their stuff, whatever, because you don't want to leave that at the table, right? And then I've learned that there's a new generation of people that put their wallet and their phone and sometimes their keys down on the table. And it's finally occurred to me, it's because of those skinny jeans. You can't, apparently you can't sit with a lot of stuff in your pockets. And so they just have to lay it out there on the table. And so now I'm saying, everybody get their phones, you get your wallet, you get your keys, get your, I don't know, whatever else you got there. But anyway, gather up your stuff and let's leave the table and let's go. And so I'm hoping that at the end of the service today, some of you are going to leave some stuff at the table on purpose, and you're going to take with you the peace and the presence of God. So I'm prayerful about that. So I want you to picture in your mind what it means for you to be at the Lord's table. Maybe it's a communion table like the one here in front of the pulpit this morning. Or maybe it's a banqueting table that's spread with fine linen and silver and china place settings. I remember there used to be a poster. Those were things you, before you had memes, you had posters that were a thing you could put on your wall. But anyway, I can remember a poster that they used to have of what was supposed to be like the Marriage Supper of the Lamb, and it looked like a mile-long table with like candelabras and fine china. Anybody remember that? Some of you are kind of nodding that you do. And that was kind of a, I don't know, that was probably 40 years ago. But anyway, they kind of had that. So maybe it's that kind of banqueting table that you think of. Or maybe it's a blanket and a picnic spread on a blanket, and that's the Lord's table for you. And you may want to picture it that way based on the words of the psalmist David in Psalm 23, one that's familiar to all of you. That David wrote, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet or still waters." He was a cowboy fan, that's why he said still waters. Thank you, thank you. "He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So we've been invited to come to the Lord's table. And if in your mind you can picture it, you can see it, And in light of what the psalmist said, then I kind of see a blanket spread for us, but it's a feast that's placed there. And he's made provision for us, green pastures and still waters and cups filled to overflowing and oil for our heads to refresh us and restoration for our souls and the safety and protection that comes from his watchful presence and his rod and his staff. And I want you to notice this morning where the table is. Not just the still waters and the green pastures, but notice where it is. He sets up that table in the presence of our enemies. In the presence of our enemies. Now, I read one preacher this week in studying this and had a lovely suggestion, and I may come back and preach on this at some other point. He said, maybe what the Lord is saying is you ought to invite your enemies to come to the table. And that's a thought worth dwelling on after lunch today. For you can write your own sermon about inviting your enemies to come to his table. He sets a table in the presence of our enemies. But this morning, that's not the direction I want to go. And if the table is a metaphor that represents his sacrifice and his grace and his forgiveness and provision and mercy and healing and his presence and his peace and the spiritual nourishment and sustenance, then what a perfect place for that table to be prepared and set in the presence of our enemies. That everything we need is set for us in the presence of all the enemies that come against us. So I want to give you a really broad definition of what the enemies might be. So let's define enemies broadly as the people, things, stresses, feelings, emotions, obstacles, challenges that distract us and try to defeat us, weary us, and prevent us from being who God wants us to be, where God wants us to be, and receiving all God wants us to receive. I was inspired by the Apostle Paul to write that rather lengthy paragraph there. Like, I could have put a few more phrases in there, maybe. But let's define enemies broadly as the people, things, stresses, feelings, emotions, obstacles, challenges that distract us, that try to defeat us, that weary us and that worry us, that prevent us from being who God wants us to be, from being where God wants us to be, and from receiving everything God wants us to receive. So here's the picture. Again, the table of the Lord is a metaphor for all that God has provided for us through Jesus and his sacrifice. And here's the picture. The table of the Lord spread with every good gift of the Father, with his saving grace, his enabling grace that will strengthen us and see us through every possible circumstance of our life, every season of our life, every attack and scheme of the enemy that we might face. He's prepared that table for us. We would say in Oklahoma, he prepared it smack dab in the presence of our enemies. Not sure what smack dab is, but I know it when I see it. He's prepared this table in the presence of all the distractions. He's prepared a table of his mercy and grace in the midst of all the weariness you've experienced, all the attacks of the enemy, all the accusations and the doubts and the questions and the hesitations. He's prepared this table for you in the presence of all the cares and worries and fears and frustrations. He's prepared this table for you in the presence of hostile opinions and ideologies. He's prepared this table for you in the presence of demonic powers and principalities that try to rage against you and that try to war against every righteous, holy desire and impulse you have. He's prepared this table in the presence of physical fatigue and sickness and illness, in the presence of that COVID fog that keeps clouding your mind and your vision, you know, that just, I just can't figure that out. Yeah, it's just kind of that fog hanging up there. He's prepared this table before you in the presence of emotional wounds that just keep seeping and bleeding, in the presence of the diagnosis and the prognosis that you never wanted or thought you would receive. He's prepared this table before you in the presence of loss and disappointment and discouragement and death and pain. He's prepared a table before you. And do you hear what I'm telling you this morning? It's in the very presence of your enemies that he sets this table and says, I invite you to come here and find the life-sustaining, life-enabling power and presence of God that will give you the grace you need to make it every day. Come to the table and find Jesus. You see, it's the perfect place for it. The enemies aren't going away, but Jesus and his presence and his power are there in the face of the enemy. Right in the enemy territory, he sets up a banqueting table, and there we find peace in the midst of the storm. There we find grace in the midst of every attack and every battle. There is grace for you this morning. And so I would say to you, stop focusing on the enemies that surround you and focus on the table. Focus on the provision that's there through Christ. Focus on the bread and the cup, the emblems of his suffering and his redemption, his forgiveness and grace. Focus on Jesus. Remember, we're proclaiming something when we take communion. We're proclaiming something when we come to his table. We're saying this is who he is and this is what he's done. This is what he continues to do. This is what he will do. And so we declare it today. Stop focusing on the enemies. Focus on the relationship that you have with God through Jesus Christ. For we are now heirs of God and we've been adopted into the family. Forget the distractions. Drop all your worries and cares and leave them there and take a seat at the table and feast on the riches of His grace and His mercy, His presence and His peace. Don't worry about the enemies. What you need is Jesus and what He's provided for you at the cross through His redeeming sacrifice. Focus on Him. Come feast on Him, because all you need is found in Jesus today. If what you need is forgiveness, you'll find it at the Lord's table. For Paul says in Ephesians 1, in Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of His grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And just take a second to look again is that verse up there? If there's whoever's listening, is that verse? There it is. No, not that one. Find Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ah, there it is. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance, look at that word, with the riches of His grace that He lavished on us. You know, you can't talk about grace with any other kind of terms. Well, He just tossed out a little dab of grace somewhere. It's an oxymoron. Stingy grace, there's no such thing, because grace is unmerited favor. It's not deserved. You can't, well, I think I earned this much. You didn't earn any of it. And it's lavished. It's the riches of His grace, and He lavishes it upon it. He pours it out. He heaps it up. It's like the way I want icing on my cake, lavished on there. That's what He's done with His grace. He lavishes His grace upon us. That's why Jeff and Sarah got a little excited this morning about worship, because guess what? I was lost and dead in my trespasses and sins, and Jesus came along, and according to the riches of His grace, He lavished grace and forgiveness and mercy upon me. I was a wretch by the side of the road, and He found me and lavished His grace. Listen, if you need forgiveness, it's found here. The enemy wants to condemn and keep heaping guilt and shame on you, but Jesus offers forgiveness, and He'll lavish that grace on you when you come to His table in repentance and faith. If what you need is peace, you'll find it here, because Jesus said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I don't give to you as the world gives. I give you peace that passes understanding." So He says, so don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let trouble get in your heart, and don't be afraid. The world and its pressures will rob you of peace. But in the presence of that enemy, Jesus prepares a table of peace. And I love that invitation He gives in Matthew 11. "Come unto Me, all who are weary and heavy laden," or heavy burdened, "and I will give you rest." Rest. Come to the table. Don't be afraid. Come to the table. If what you need is life, you'll find it here, because Jesus said, "The thief has only come to steal and kill and to destroy. I've come that you may have life, and that more abundantly," or have it to the full. Don't fear the enemy's plans. Right in front of the enemy, Jesus has prepared a life-sustaining, life-enabling banquet for you. Come to His table and find life to the full. Again, remember, the Lord's table is that metaphor for all that He's provided through His atoning sacrifice. And if what you need is healing for your body or soul or mind or spirit, you'll find it here as well. For the prophet said, "He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes," or with His stripes, through His stripes, "we are healed." We can come to Jesus and find wholeness and healing that can't be found anywhere else, because He bore our sin and our sickness so we could be made whole. Now, the enemy's going to keep on striving to inflict blows to discourage and defeat you and beat you down, and maybe you feel a little abandoned this morning. I read Psalm 74 this week, and it's a description of the destruction that's come to the temple. The psalmist said, "Oh God, why have You cast us away forever?" This is the Living translation of Psalm 74. "Walk through the awful ruins of the city and see what the enemy has done to Your sanctuary. There they shouted their battle cry and erected their idols to flaunt their victory in the sanctuary. Everything lies in shambles like a forest chopped to the ground. They came with their axes and sledgehammers and smashed and chopped the carved paneling and set the sanctuary on fire, raised it to the ground." Your sanctuary, Lord, they did this to. Let's wipe out every trace of God, they said. And they went through the entire country, burning down the assembly places where we worshiped you. There's nothing left to show that we are your people. The prophets are gone, and who can say when it will all end? How long, O God, will you allow our enemies to dishonor your name? Will you let them get away with this forever? Why do you delay? And maybe some of you can relate this morning. It just seems like, why is God letting injustice run rampant? And why has this happened to me or to my family or to my circumstances? It feels like you're under attack, like the enemy's winning and God is just watching from the sidelines somewhere, and you're wondering, how long, Lord, is this going to go on? And when are you going to intervene? And when are you going to help us? And where's God in all this? And I want you to stop in the midst of that thought and think again, because he has spread a table before you in the presence of your enemies. Those that have come pillaging and plundering through your town or through your mind or through your family or through your body and your health or whatever, in the midst of that pillaging and plundering and all that the devil's trying to do, Jesus prepares a table for you where the riches of his grace is available. His peace that passes understanding is there. His forgiveness is there. His mercy is new every morning, and it's there. His presence, because he promised to never leave you and never forsake you, his presence is there. He sets that table in the very presence of the enemy. He's at the table. His presence, his grace, his provision found at his table. There's recovery and there's hope there. He will restore and rebuild and renew, and he invites you to come to his table and meet him in surrender. The Apostle Paul knew something about enemies coming against him, because he said there was a messenger of Satan that had been sent to torment him. But in the midst of that torment, in the presence of that enemy, Paul heard the Lord say, "But Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." Hear that phrase? All-sufficient grace. All-sufficient grace. Friends, I'm inviting you this morning to a table of grace. A table where power is made perfect in weakness. Where the power we need to live a godly life was made available through what looked like the most vulnerable, sad, weakest moment in the history of the world, when God's Son hung in defeat upon a cross. But that weakness is turned to power when he died and rose again, triumphant over life and death and hell and the grave. And our weakness, oh, somehow there's a perfection that comes, and there's power for us today. All-sufficient grace prepared in the very presence of our enemies. And so here's what we have to do. We have to step around the enemies and come to the table, and we'll walk past them. And as we walk past some of those enemies, I'm just suggesting this morning, you just kind of, you find an ugly one over there and you just go, grace. 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 I'm going to his table of grace. Did you hear that? I'm going to the table of grace. I know you surrounded me. I mean, I know what you're up to. But let me tell you something. Grace! Grace! All-sufficient grace. You thought you had me, Jack. If your name's Jack, excuse me. Grace! All-sufficient grace. Guess what? He's lavishing his grace on me, and he invites me to a table of grace. He invites me to come and to participate in this communion act, this moment with him where his grace is poured out upon me. I'm coming to a table of grace where power is made perfect in weakness. That's the invitation we're responding to this morning. Jesus has all-sufficient grace for us. Are you hungry for Jesus? I am. Hungry for his help and his healing and his mercy and his grace, and I need it today. I need grace to face those enemies. I need the strength to be able to shout at some of those enemies and whisper at a few others that I found his grace, and I'm going to stand in that. He's enabling me by his grace. By his grace, you can run through a troop and jump over a wall, right? By his grace, we can stand. By his grace, we're more than conquerors through him who loved us, and he invites us to come and participate in that grace. 100 years ago, we used to sing, "Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites his chosen people, come and dine." come and dine. I see my friends Jim and Carolyn back there, and you can picture Roy Baldwin up there leading, singing, come and dine, the master calleth, come and dine. He invites us to his table to come and dine, and there to experience him, his presence, and his peace. We're going to all take communion together. In a moment, I'll ask the worship team to come back out, and they've got another song to sing, Jesus Paid It All to him I owe. But I just feel like this morning that there may be some here that in response to this message, that you just physically need to respond to this, to come to his table and to move toward him. That maybe you're here this morning and you need forgiveness, or you need physical healing in your body, or maybe you've just been carrying some stuff for the last month or year or whatever, and you just need to lay it down at this table. Leave some stuff at the table and take back the gifts of Jesus with you this morning. And so I'm going to pray, and then they're going to sing. And if the Lord's speaking to your heart, I just invite you to come, and you can stand here at the front. We're going to pray together, and then we're going to take communion. But Lord, I pray you would just take this simple message and strike the hearts of some today that so desperately just need, Lord, to have an encounter with you. I believe somebody needs to have an encounter with God's grace, and your grace is waiting for them here, Lord, ready to minister to them and meet their need. They need to move towards your table and find the healing and help that you've promised. So let it be this morning, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As they sing this morning, if you're here and you just need to come to his table, you need healing, you need grace, you need strength, just slip out and come this morning. Come stand, you can kneel here if you want to. But I want to pray with you this morning. We're going to believe the Lord to make the difference for you. I just believe there's somebody, there's a healing that needs to come in your soul. There's reconciliation that needs to happen. I just feel like there's some darkness that needs to be dispelled somehow or another from your spirit and mind or whatever. It's just been too heavy. And it's just time for you to step into what God has for you this morning. Jesus has paid it all. If you need healing in your body, we're going to pray for you this morning. Whatever you need from him, there's provision at the Lord's table today. There's provision for you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we can move towards you today. Thank you that there's hope for us, for our families, Lord. In our circumstances, there's grace for us today. In the presence of our enemies, there's grace for us today. There's grace for us today. Just continue to come as they sing this morning and sing with us.
And stain he washed it white as snow, and Jesus paid it all to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, he washed it white as snow. stand in Him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Let's sing that again. And when before the throne I stand in Him complete. Jesus died my soul to save. My lips shall still repeat. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow. He washed it white as snow.
Jesus paid it all.
And Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that the stain of sin upon our lives has been cleansed, washed away, purged from us today, Lord. And wounds that we've carried, Lord, there's healing that comes to us today. As surely as the blood of Jesus washes away our sin, Lord, that same grace and healing can wash away the stain and the bruises and the wounds, Lord, that are inflicted from the enemies that surround us at times, Lord. There's healing that comes to us today. There's restoration that comes today. As I worked on this message Thursday and Friday, I wrote these words down. I felt in my spirit this was going to happen for somebody today, either 8:30 or 11 o'clock service, maybe somebody watching. But there were several things I wrote down that I see darkness lifting from someone's heart and mind today. There's been a cloud of discouragement and depression and despair. And I had sensed, I had said, I believe somebody's going to have an encounter with God's grace that was awaiting them. That there's healing and cleansing, that broken hearts are mended in His presence. And I believe someone with a heart that's broken, that God's putting the pieces back together for you. There's a sense this morning in which you can feel it in an emotional kind of way, that it's like something's coming back together that was torn and broken. That someone, as you surrender your life and circumstances to Jesus, that He's going to bring healing. He wants to bring healing and reconciliation in a relationship, and that you're starting on that path today as God begins to heal, that God is providing and His grace is sufficient. And I tell you again, He will do what no other can do. We can trust Him today. You can trust Him as you gather in His presence. You can trust Him at His table. Remember, Jesus said, if you ask the Father, He won't give you a scorpion or a stone. He'll give you bread. He'll give you fish. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father, and He gives us those gifts today. He gives us those gifts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The provision of the Lord is not withheld from those who are hungering and thirsting after Him, but instead the Lord is gracious in all of His ways. Gracious as He bestows upon you forgiveness and cleansing and healing, as He encourages your soul with hope, as He fills your mind and your spirit with peace. And so look to Him today. Put your trust and confidence in Him, for the one who has lavished His grace upon you will delight once again in giving healing and hope and good gifts to His children. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that we look to you today to receive from you, Lord, the help that we need, Lord. That we receive it from your hand, Lord, the very thing we need, the very thing our hearts are hungering for, Lord. We receive it from you today. Oh, how thankful we are, Lord. We're so thankful, Lord, for what you're doing for us, Lord. Thank you for healing that comes to hearts today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How we bless you, Lord. How we honor you today. We're talking about terms that are kind of ethereal somehow or another when we talk about healing or grace or peace or all those things. What you hold in your hand, though, this morning is real and physical. You can touch it and feel it. We're going to hold it. And if you'll pick up, you can either sit or you can stand, either one. But if you'll take the cup of communion this morning. And what I'm telling you is that His grace and His presence and His peace and His love and His mercy, it's as real as what you hold in your hand this morning. So that when you take of that piece of bread in just a minute and I read those words of institution and we take this, His body broken for us, it is as real to us in that moment as the bread that you hold in your hand. It's more real than that because He's the creator of all things and there is substance in Him beyond what we can imagine. And so if you'll take your cup today. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Together, let's take of the bread, the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your body sacrificed for us. Thank you, Lord, that now through your redemption and through Christ, we are made to be the body of Christ together. And we discern that body, Lord. And may we bless one another even as we bless you, Lord Jesus. And by the gift of your body broken for us, Lord, may we experience healing and wholeness in our lives and our relationships. And then Paul said, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Together, let's drink of the cup, the blood of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing. Thank you for healing. Thank you for every good gift that comes from the Father. Thank you, Lord, for everything we need from you today, Lord Jesus. If you need healing in your body, claim it right now, in this moment, Lord, as real as that juice we just drank, Lord, is the healing grace of God to us, that by your stripes, by the sacrifice of your blood, we're healed. We claim healing in our physical bodies today. We claim healing in our mind and in our spirit. We claim it today through your grace, by means of your grace, from the hand of a loving Father, Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, we receive from you, Lord, healing for us. Healing for emotions, Lord. Some touched by the Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, I believe for restoration and healing in every way, Lord. And Lord, we are so thankful that we are saved and our sins have been forgiven. Your mercy applied to us, Lord, so that we can rejoice in it. Hallelujah. What good news for us. That through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. I declare it to you today on no less authority than the Word of God. If you've confessed your sins before Him, your sins are forgiven. You are a brand new creation in Christ. Old things pass away and all things are made new. You're a child of God, adopted into His family. He declares that you're an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And in that, we give Him thanks and praise today. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a shout of praise this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done for us, for the peace we have in our heart, that our sins are forgiven, and that new life is ours today in the blessed name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And amen. Well, receive the blessing of the Lord this morning. Thanks for being here. Thanks for watching us online. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And may the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Go from this place rejoicing in God's good mercy and grace. Amen and amen. Remember to take your little cups and drop those in the trash.